daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Yud Gimel. We left off on the bottom of daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're going to first discuss the source for the idea that the year of the produce is determined by Shlish Gidulo, by growing one third. That if the produce grows one third of its growth in the previous year, it counts as the previous year's produce. If it doesn't get to one third of its growth until this year, then it's this year's produce. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Chachamim were really expert enough to make that determination, to know when something is called one third grown and when something is not one third grown. And then we're going to, in the context of that conversation, we're going to discuss what Klal Yisrael did on their first year in Eretz Yisrael about bringing a Karban Omer. The halacha is that Karban Omer needs to be brought from Jewish grain, not from grain that was grown by non-Jews. So how do we bring the Karban Omer that first year in Eretz Yisrael? And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to reject the first source that one-third growth is the critical number, and instead suggest a different source for the idea that one-third growth determines what year the produce belongs. So in Ambeis, the Gemara is going to talk about produce whose year is determined by Hashrasha. Not every type of produce is determined by one-third growth. Some are determined by other factors, Chanata, Hashrasha. So we're going to talk about why it is that different produce has different rules for determining which year it actually belongs to. So we are holding at Tanan Hassam, about eight lines before the end of the page, and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Tanan Hassam, we have a Mishnah. Hatilton Misha Titzmach. That Tilton is determined, its year is determined Misha Titzmach, from the point that that it has Tzmicha, which we're going to see soon, means that it has seeds inside of it that you could then plant and grow more Tilton with. So once it hits that point, that's when it's considered grown for the sake of determining which year it was grown in. Hatavua v'hazesim mishiyaviyu shlish. But grain and olives are determined based on mishiyaviyu shlish, once it grows one third of its growth. So my misha titzmach, what did misha titzmach mean? Misha titzmach lizra'im. It means that it has seeds that you could then plant those seeds and they would be potent enough to grow more with it. Hatavua v'hazesim mishiyaviyu shlish minanimili. But where do we know that one third growth is the determining factor when it comes to tavua and zesim, when it comes to grain and when it comes to olives? Who said that one third growth matters? Some Ravasi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Matva Mishmed Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omar Kra, Pasuk says, Miketz Sheva Shanim Bimoet Shnas Hashmita Bechag HaSukos. At the end of 7 years, during a Shemitah time of Chag HaSukos. Well, wait a second. If it's at the end of 7 years and you are in the following Chag HaSukos, you are no longer during a Shemitah time. You're now in the 8th year. So, Shnas HaShemitah Maya Vidite v'Chag HaSukos Shminasi. Why would we talk about Shnas HaShemitah at Chag HaSukos after 7 years are over? That's already the 8th year. So what's going on? El Lomilcha rather must be teaching us Kol Tavua Sheviya Shlish B'Shviyas Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Atanoi Bominik Shviyas B'Shminis. That any grain that grew one third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah, then you are knowing you know Kedushas Shviyas on that grain even during the 8th year, because it grew to one third of its growth during the 7th year, therefore it's considered to be Shemitah produce, and as Shemitah produce, it therefore has to be treated with Kedusha Shviyas even as late as Sukkis. Sarmale Rabbi Zeil Rabasi Vidilma Loayel Klal Vekamer Rachman Tishmit V'Tezlal Chag HaSukkos. Yeah, but how do you know that it grew one third of its growth? We just know that there's produce that you're going to pick on Sukkis, that you're going to first get from the field on Sukkos, that is still going to have to be treated with Kedusha Shavias. But how do you know that it's because it grew one third of its growth during the Shemitah year? Maybe this is just the din of Tosefes Shavias, that you have to continue to observe the halachos of Shemitah on produce that grows all the way up until Sukkos. So lo sal kadai tichtuchsiv v'chag ha'asif b'tzeis hashana. Now that can't be what it means, because the pasuk says v'chag ha'asif b'tzeis hashana. So my asif, what does that mean? Ilei mechag ha'bal b'zman asifa. If it's simply telling me that it's the chag that comes at the time that we gather in our grain, haksiv ba'aspecha. We already have a pasuk that says that ba'aspecha megarnucha miyikvecha, that we celebrate this Yom Tov of Sukkos at the time that we gather in our grain. Elamai asif katsir. So it must be that asif is a reference to Kitsira. We're saying that the chag that we do, the kitsira from the fields, so that kitsira is done on grain that still has kedusha shviyas. V'kimelu the rabbanan, and the rabbanan knew that agriculturally it's true that the kultivur sheniktzer b'chag, that any grain that's ready to be niktzer, that's ready to be harvested on Sukkos, b'yadua shevi shlish lifnei Rosh Hashanah. You could be certain that it grew 1/3 of its growth before Rosh Hashanah. V'kakarila b'tseis Hashanah. And yet we still say about that grain, b'tseis Hashanah, that it's still considered to be Shemitah grain because it grew 1/3 of its growth during the Shemitah year. So that's the source for the idea that 1/3 of the growth really matters in terms of the Shemitah year. The Tosfos raises the question, we said that we're knowing minik shviyas bishminis. We're knowing the Shemitah halachos during the 8th year, as long as it grew 1/3 of its growth during the Shemitah year. Tosfos points out, we learned on Daf Tess, and then the Gemara suggested, how do you know that that's about growing 1/3 of its growth? Maybe this is just a din of Tosefa Shvius. Maybe it's not a din of 1/3 of its growth. So Tosfos points out, we learned on Daf Tess, the din of Tosefa Shvius from Becharish of Akatsir Tishbos. That's an extra pasuk, so it teaches me about the Charish al Erev Shvius, Shenichnas al Shvius, Bekatsir Shal Shvius, Shiyotzin al Motzai Shvius. So we already learned the din of Tosefa Shvius. So the Achronim explain what Tosfos is driving at, the Pnei Shun, the Erech Liner, point out that what Tosfos is driving at is, why do I need the pasuk b'charish of akatsir tishbos if you can learn it from shnas hashmita, from this pasuk? So Tosfos suggests that b'charish of akatsir tishbos teaches us that the isra of charisha also applies during Tosefa Shviyas. That we would not have necessarily known from this pasuk. Or it could be that we need two pasukim. One to teach us that peros that grew during Shemitah year were knowing Kedusha Shviyas even during the 8th year, and our Asr B'Schora, you're not allowed to do business with them, and all the halachas of peros Shviyas apply to them. And the other one tells me that it's Asr to actually work the field during the 8th year on a tree or on grain that has peros that grew during the, if there is in that field trees or grain that grew during the Shemitah year, that you're not allowed to do anything to aid in the growth of that produce. So it could be that it's two different halachos that are derived from the two different pesukim. Now, Rav Zilberstein points out in Chashuke Chemed that he quotes this Tosfos that to be chorish and to be kotzer, the grain that grows in the Shemitah year but continues growing into the 8th year is derived from the pasuk that it's aser. So Rav Yashiv raises the question that the Medrash in Taras Kohen in Parshas Bahar says Shnas Shabbos Niyeh La'aretz Kivan Sheyatzes Shviyas Afal Pi Sheperos of Shemitah Mutarat alasos melacha begufa shalidlan. The Medrash says pretty much the exact opposite. That once, if you have produce that grew during the Shemitah year, so granted that produce has kedushas shviyas, but and even though that produce is still in your field, you're allowed to work your field once the Shemitah year is over. Shemitah is over, now it's the 8th year, you're allowed to work your field. It's not going to, the fact that there happens to be produce that has kedushas shviyas in your field is not going to stop you from working your field during the 8th year, exactly against what Tosfos had said. So Rav Yashiv suggested that maybe you could be mechalik as follows. That according to Tosfos, the malachos that you're not allowed to do, the avodas hakarka that you're not allowed to do, is when it's letzorech, the peros of Shemitah that are in the field, that have kedusha shviyah. So that, the Torah is mechadish, v'choresh v'katzir tishpos. Don't be choresh, don't be kotzer. Anything that's going to help out that produce that has kedusha shviyas, and you can even have such a thing as kitsira that helps the peros of kedusha shviyas, because sometimes your coats are one in order that the other one should grow better, in order that the other one should grow in better, the one that's next to it should grow in better. But Tosfos is talking about where you come to do malachos on a tree shalol tzarecha peros. So that we say is mutter, that even though the peros have kedusha shviyas, since Shemitah the year is over, if you're doing anything that you do that's not going to directly aid the peros of Shemitah, it's your land, you're allowed to work it. If the Shemitah year is over, you're allowed to continue to work that land after the Shemitah year is over. So this all is one source in the Gemara for the idea that that 1/3 growth is the determining factor when we try to figure out what year the produce is from. So says the Gemara further now, about 6 lines in on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu LeRabbi Zeira. Zeiras, Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zeira, Vikimlu the Rabbanan bein shlish l'pachas mishlish. Do the Rabbanan really know the difference? Can they look at grain and tell you if it's 1/3 grown or if it's 1/4 grown? Do they really know the difference between a shlish and pachas mishlish? Amrulay. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, how many times do we have to tell you, Rabbi Yirmiyah? Lav aminalach. Didn't we already tell you, lo topic nafshach lebar mihilchasa? You shouldn't be engaged in such non-halachic thinking. Meaning this, you're taking yourself out of the halacha. Kol midos chachamim kenhu. Whenever the chacham say something, their measurements and their shiurim and their determinations are always precise. Barboim so tovel barboim so chaser kort of enyachalit beldehen. For example, a mikvah is 40 sa'ah. So what? You're going to argue, well, what if it's missing just a tiny drop from the 40 sa'ah? If it's missing just a little bit, why, are you going to tell me that you can't be tovel in it? The answer is yes, we'll tell you that you can't be tovel in it. If the chacham gave a shear of 40 sa'ah, that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. 40 sa'ah is the shear. Kebeitza metami tumas ochlin. If you have a shear kebeitza, it could become tami tumas ochlin. Or it's machlok rishonim, whether you need a shear kebeitza for food to become tame, or you only need a shear kebeitza for food to be able to be mitame other things. But for something with regard to tumas ochlin, there's a shear kebeitza. What if it's kebeitza chasr shumshum? What if it's one sesame seed smaller than the size of a kebeitza? Say, if the Chachamim gave a shear, the shear is the shear. It's not negotiable. Shlosh al shlosh mitami medris. A cloth that's 3x3 etzbos could be mitami medris. Shlosh al shlosh chaser nima achas. If it's missing a single thread, it's almost shlosha shlosha. Well, then it's not metame medrus, because the halacha is that we always go with whatever the shirim that the chum gave are. This is a common problem that Rabbi Yirmiyah apparently had. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra and Afchav Gimel and Beis that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question. The Gemara discusses if you find birds. It's in the sugya of rov v'karov. We often think of determining a suffix based on rov. We don't as often think of the other way to determine a suffix, the Torah tells us, based on karov, based on proximity. Where does the Torah tell us that karov is a way to determine what the facts are in a situation of suffix? The Torah tells us by Egla Arufa. You find a dead body between two cities, so they measure which city the body is closer to, and that city's based in is responsible for Egla Arufa. So the Gemara has a discussion in the second paragraph of Bava Basra. What if the rov tells you one thing and the karov tells you something else? You measure the bodies between two cities, and one of them is closer, the other one is a much larger city. So would you go with the rov, or would you go with the karov? So in that sugya, the Gemara talks about when you find birds near a bird nest. So the Gemara says, well, if the birds cannot fly, and then... if they cannot fly yet, then they would never go more than 50 amos past their nest. So if they cannot fly, even if they're very close to a nest that's 51 amos away, you do not assume that it necessarily comes from that nest. In fact, it could have come from any nest in the world. It could come from Ruba the Alma. The owner of that nest has no claim on this bird. So Rabbi Yirmiyah raises the question, okay, what if the bird has one leg within 50 amos and one leg beyond 50 amos? Then what? You're still going to say you can't go that far? So the Gemara says, Valda afkul Rabbi Yirmiyah mibe midrasha. They threw Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the Beis Medrash for asking such questions. Kol shiurei chachamim kenu. The chachamim have shiurim, and when they say the shiur is 50 amos, it's 50 amos. It's not 50 amos plus a step, it's 50 amos precisely. So Rabbi Yirmiyah apparently struggled with this idea that when the chachamim give a shiur, we have to have a drop-dead shiur. We have to have an absolute. We can't, it's non-negotiable. Tosus explains that they threw him out of the Beis Medrash because if the chachamim say that it's 50 amos, it means that even a single leg can't go more than 50 amos, so it is a very precise measurement. Now, at the end of Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Samachem Beis, it says that the Chevra sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah the following discussion. And he sent back whatever shaila they asked him. He sent back ani eni kedai sheshalachtem li elakach das talmidchem nota valda ailul Rabbi Yirmiyah be midrasha. The Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't respond. He says, "Who am I to be able to?" to answer this question. But if you want to know what other people say, I'll tell you what other people say. And that's when they invited him back into the Beis HaMedrash. Now, the reason they invited him back at that point was because what was his chisaron that they threw him out in the first place was that he wasn't mevatel himself. He didn't have the amunas chachamim. He wasn't mevatel himself to the shirim of the chachamim. And to say that the shirim of the chachamim were very precise. Once we see that he's mevatel himself entirely, and he says, you know, my opinion doesn't really matter. Let's see what other people have to. I'll let you know what other people have to say. Then they knew that he was properly humbled, and it was time to bring him back into the Beis HaMedrash. Now, why is it that kol midos chachamim kachim, that every time the chachamim give an exact shear, that we can't negotiate that shear at all? Meaning, is it really not possible? Let's say, take the example of the birds. That is it really not possible that some birds might hop a little further than others? That some birds might have a little more koach, a little more guts to go a little bit further out than others? So the Ritva explains that we can't be medactic in the shear, that it's not going to be lo pachos, lo yosar mamish, and if we come to be medactic, it would be impossible to give any shear for anything, because a person will always be able to say, well, you know, if you're looking for the amount of water that a person could tovel his whole body, it really depends on the size of the person, and really, so it would just be, everything would become negotiable, and everything would, and the whole concept of shear would become batel. So it sounds from the Ritva that the idea is basically a low plug, that and that's what it sounds like from Rashi and Ksuva stuff, Kuftalit as well, that hemidua yasid v'lo tamut, they just established it, and they said you can't budge from the shear. So it sounds entirely like a low plug, and that's they bring a raya from the Rashba Maseches Basra as well, that a katan cannot be tovel in less than memsa'a because of a low plug. But the Svasemis wonders that kol shirim are kabbalah biyad chachamim. So in the fakpik pen, based on Tosos Maseches Basra, meaning it doesn't sound like it's a low plug. Shirim sound like the dinim daraisa. So maybe the idea is that it's a low plug midaraisa, meaning that the svara of the Torah in making a shir is because you need to have rules. Otherwise, it will be complete chaos. Everything will always be negotiable to everybody. So maybe that's the svara for the dinda araisa. Then the Maritz Chiyus writes over here that even that we mentioned as one of the examples of a non-negotiable shear is mem sa'a of a mikvah. So Maritz Chiyus writes that even though all shirim are halacha l'moshe misinai, that's only with regard to the general concept that there are shiurim like a kadasha, a kezayis, a kegris, a koseves, kegrogros, kebeitza, all of those things. The fact that they exist, that there is a shear for each of those sizes, that is halacha l'moshe misinai. But to determine which shear is going to be for malchus for eating, and which shear is going to be the shear for bal yira'ah, and which shear is going to be the shear for the yisakaris of eating yom kippur, all of that was nimsa l'chachamim. All of that was given over to the chachamim. That's why when we use the expression, when we talk about our Baruch Son in the mikvah, we say, kol midos chachamim kein hu. What does that have to do with the chachamim, says Maritz Chiyus? These are all halachal Moshe Misinai. These aren't midos chachamim. So says Maritz Chiyus, they are midos chachamim. Because although the measurements themselves are halachal Moshe Misinai, so they are adin d'araisa, but to know which measurements to apply to which halachos, that was the masna kasav al chachamim. And they bring a raya from our sugya, because the mikvah is a shear of memsa, that's a shear min haTorah, and nevertheless we call it midos chacham. So that's the raya to the comment of the Maritz Chiyus. That comment of the Maritz Chiyus does not appear here. That comment of the Maritz Chiyus is a comment in Yuma Daf Pei, where he talks about the shear of Yom HaKippurim, of Achila and Yom HaKippurim. So yes, all the shearim are d'oraisa. But the Maritz Chiyus argues that the chachamim have the right to determine which shear fits which halacha. Good. It's very similar to the way the Bali Atosis discussed the idea that in Adam done Gezer Shava Me'atzmo, that a person can't make up his own Gezer Shava. So some of the Bali Atosis suggest that they had a tradition of what the Gezer Shavas were, but it was up to the Chum to determine, now that they know that this word is used for Gezer Shava, that word is used for Gezer Shava, where in the Torah that word is used, that we're actually supposed to use it for Gezer Shava, to actually figure it out and apply it for each halacha. That was not as a Kabbalah, that they had to, that they, the Lomas Nakasava, Yeshiva L'Chachamim. So this is a similar idea over here that the Maariv Chai suggests. Hadar Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah then later said, back in the Gemara, Lav Milsi Yida Amri. That which I said originally, that how do the Chachamim know when it's when it grows one shlish, when it grows one third, when it doesn't? I changed my mind. I messed up. Dubai Mine Chavraya Merav Kahana Omer Shekrivu Yisal B'Knisas L'Aretz Meichan Ekrivuhu. And the evidence that it was a wrong kind of question is from the following conversation. The Rabbanim asked Rav Kahana, the Omer that they were makriv, that Klal Yisrael was makriv, the first year, the carbon Omer that they brought, the first year when they went into Eretz Yisrael, where did they get the grain for that carbon Omer? Im tamer da'ayil biyad nachri, if you want to say that they used grain that was grown while the land was still in non-Jewish hands, while the land of Israel, before the Jewish people came in, there was grain there, while it was still in non-Jewish hands, well, that can't be, because k'tzirchem amar rachmana v'lo k'tzir nachri. The pasuk says that k'tzirchem, that it has to be the korban omer has come from your harvest, not from the harvest of a guy, meaning not from grain that was grown by a guy. So says Gemara, well, mimay da'akrivu, dumo lo akrivu. The question assumes that they actually brought a carbon omer. How do you know they brought a carbon omer that first year? Maybe in a chinami. They only first brought a carbon omer the second year that they were in Eretz Yisrael. So it says, "Malos salkadai tuchtuchsiv ve'ochlu me'avor ha'aretz mimachras ha'pesach." Pasuk says that they ate from the produce of the land only mimachras ha'pesach. So it sounds like mimachras ha'pesach achul me'ikar la'achul, that they were willing to eat mimachras ha'pesach, but they wouldn't eat prior to Machras HaPesach. Why? What changes on Machras HaPesach? What changes on the day after the first day of Pesach? Da'akriv Omer Bahadur Achli. It must be that they were waiting on bringing Korban Omer, and only once they brought the Korban Omer were they willing to eat. So good. So now we've established that they did in fact bring a Korban Omer that first year in Eretz Yisrael. So back to the question. Meheichan Ekrivu. Where did they get grain to bring the Korban Omer? They couldn't use non-Jewish grain. So where did they get grain from? Samar Lahen, Kol Shalo Hevi Shlish Biad Nachri. No, but where did they get grain from? They used grain that while it was still in non-Jewish hands had not yet grown to one third of its growth. And if it had not yet grown to one third of its growth, it's not called non-Jewish grain. If it hit one third of its growth while it was in Jewish hands, that's called Jewish grain. So says Gemara, V'dilma ayil v'lo kimlehu. But how do they know if it grew one third of its growth or didn't grow one third of its growth? Are they such experts? Would they know the difference? Ella kimlehu, hachanami kimlehu. So what you have to assume is that they did know. So says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's where I messed up. Clearly the Rabbanan knew how to tell what's one third grown, what's not one third grown. Otherwise the Korban Omer, the first year in Eretz Yisrael, would not have been able to be brought. The only way it could have been brought is when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they took a look at the grain and they said, that's less than one third grown, that's only one quarter grown, and therefore let's wait a few days, we'll be able to use that for our Korban Omer. So since they knew it then, there's no reason to assume that they don't know it now. If the Chachamim are able to make that determination, they can make that determination when figuring out what year any given produce belongs to as well. So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. I regret my question. I know the Rabbanan do have that kind of expertise. So the Gemara says, well, not so fast to regret your question. Maybe when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they saw which fields had already produced something and which fields had produced nothing. And they were dafka makbit to bring the Korban Omer only from fields that had produced nothing so far. Not that they were looking whether it grew one third, didn't grow. They wanted to know the difference if it was a quarter grown or a third grown. They were dafka looking at things that weren't grown at all. And that's what they brought the Korban Omer from. So you can't necessarily prove from the fact that we brought a Korban Omer our first year in Eretz Yisrael that necessarily the Chacham are able to distinguish between what's one third grown and what's not one third grown. So Yirmiyah, maybe your kasha was a good kasha, that the Rabbanan don't have this expertise. So it says, no, they could not have brought something from, they cannot have brought a Korban Omer from a field that had nothing in it when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Because look at the dates. When did they come into Eretz Yisrael? They came into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th day of Nisan. The Korban Omer has to be brought on the 16th day of Nisan. So you mean to tell me they came in they came into Eretz Yisrael on the 10th day of Nisan, found a field that had nothing, that the grain had not grown at all in yet, and then 6 days later the grain was fully grown and they were able to bring a Korban Omer from it? It doesn't happen that fast. It can't possibly happen in 6 days. If that's the case you're imagining, that it didn't grow at all, what, in 5 days it's going to grow to its full growth and they're going to be able to bring carbon omer? No, Rabbi Yirmiyah, you were right to reject your question by saying that clearly it must have been grown partially, and they're able to tell the difference between what's one-third grown and what's not one-third grown. And they specifically brought carbon omer from that which was partially grown, but less than one-third grown. So says Gemara, no, that doesn't work either. Because still, it's 5 days. It's 5 days from the time they enter Eretz Yisrael till they have to actually bring the carbon omer. Riva odanka akati b'chamisho yomi mikamalia. Still, if it grew, if it was one quarter grown, if it was 1/6 grown, so you're going to tell me that 5 days later it's going to be fully grown? The whole thing doesn't make sense. How is it possible that even if you're going to say that they're able to determine between 1/3 growth and less than 1/3 growth, how is it possible that they found something that was less than 1/3 grown and then 5 days later it's fully grown? Nothing grows that fast. So what are you going to say? How's it possible? Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. Hachanami Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. The land of Israel is amazing. It could do amazing things. And sometimes it could produce things in a dramatically accelerated fashion. So it's just like it's possible that they came into Eretz Yisrael and there was grain that was one quarter grown, and then 5 days later it was fully grown. Well, it's also possible that they came into Eretz Yisrael and there was grain that wasn't grown at all, and 5 days later it was fully grown. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, to assume that the Rabbanan have this expertise based on the fact that they brought a carbon omer, doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove any expertise, because all that carbon omer proves is that Eretz Yisrael is a really amazing place and that things can grow there extremely quickly. That's the concept of Eretz Tzvi, that it's a very vibrant land and it has the ability, just like Tzvi runs very fast and it's able to move quickly, the grain that grows in Eretz Yisrael is able to move very quickly. There are other reasons Chazal say also that it's called Eretz Tzvi. That's not the only reason that it's called Eretz Eretz Tzvi, it looks like when if you look at a deer, it's such a muscular animal that it looks like its skin is too tight on it. It looks like its skin is too small. It's too small a suit for everything that it has to hold. So Eretz Yisrael is like that. It's a small land, but it has so many mountains and peaks and valleys that it could hold more than it looks like it's able to hold. So it's like wearing a suit that's too small on it or something. So there are a lot of different explanations of what Eretz Tzvi is. Eretz Tzvi is that everyone is makir their chelek. That's what Shachli called the Savior. Eretz Tzvi, that everyone needs to be makir their chelek in Torah and find their chelek in Torah. Fine, but bottom line is, Rabbi Yirmiyah cannot prove anything from that first carbon omer that they brought. Now, when we ask this question, where did they get the carbon omer from? So we said that they couldn't have brought from a guy because it has to be ketzir chem and lo ketzir nachri. Tosov here points out, well, wait a second, is the land of Israel ours or does it belong to Goyim? Meaning, even before we went in there, didn't God promise it to Avram Avinu? So wasn't it ours? He walked la'archa l'rachba. Wasn't that a kinyan that he was making on Eretz Yisrael? So if it was ours, they were just babysitting it for us until we can get there, while we were in Mitzrayim. They were watching it for us. But it was, in fact, it was our land. Why do we call that Ktsir Nachri? So Tosaf says, V'afagav d'Yerushi ilam yavoseim k'disa b'avodazor perek Rabbi Shmuel dam rachmona v'ashreim tisrufun be'esh michti Yerushi ilam yavoseim in l'mosad avashena shalom. The Gemara brings up that idea in a totally different context in Masechus Avodazara. The Gemara in Avodazara says, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to find Asherah trees. The Pasuk says, you're going to find Asherah trees, Avodah Zarah trees, you have to burn all of them down. Why? Because something that's Avodah Zarah is Asbana, needs to be burnt down, you have to destroy it. So Frek the Gemara, wait a second, there is a halacha, that in the Moser Davar Sheino Shalom, someone cannot make something Aser if it doesn't belong to them. Meaning, yes, Avodah Zarah is Aser, but if I walk outside of my house one day and I find that my neighbor is bowing down to my house or to my car, it doesn't make my car Aser Bana. It's mine. You can't make it Aser just because you decide to bow down to it. Ain't the most of Davar Sheino Shalom. So if the entire Eretz Yisrael really belongs to us, how did the Goyim who decided to worship Asherah trees, how did they make those trees Aser? Those trees are our trees. They can't make it Aser. That's what the Gemara asks in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So similarly, Tosfos says, the Gemara clearly assumes that it belongs to us the whole time. So how is it possible that we're going to say that the grain that's growing there belongs to the Goyim? So he says, Mikal Makom Yeshlo B'mesh HaZarah, but still, it's at least jointly owned, because the Goy owns what he planted. He's the one. We weren't there for all those centuries, and they were the ones planting it. So if they were the ones planting it, even though the land might belong to us, he certainly has ownership over what belongs, over what he planted. And we come welcome Dayakasim Shapir, Mishum Asherah Shemidor Sarishonim. Aye, so what's the Gemara Navod Zara talking about when the Gemara asks that it belongs to us? They planted those Asherah trees? Well, some of them, yeah, but trees can last a long time. So some of those Asherah trees may have gone back, they have predated them and may have actually been our trees, in which case they didn't have the right to asser them. So that might have been the difference. There is also the Gemara over here again discusses the Korban Omer when we first came into Eretz Yisrael. How did we bring this Korban Omer? You can't bring Shel Nachrim. The Ran raises the question: why doesn't the Gemara just answer that they brought the Korban Omer from Eivor HaYarden, from the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven over there? It's certainly Katsir Chem. We had already settled the area of Eivor HaYarden, so we had much more time to bring grain from there. So why don't we just give that answer? That's where we brought the Korban Omer from. So the Ran answers that it's not mistaver for the Gemara that the very first time we brought the Korban Omer, that we did it in a b'dieved way. L'chadchila, the Korban Omer is supposed to be brought from whatever's karov to Yerushalayim, from the closest part to Yerushalayim. B'dieved, yeah, it's kosher if it's brought from Eivor HaYarden. So even though Eilachinami, it is kosher b'dieved, and on any other year we would tolerate that. We never start something off on the wrong foot. You never want a haschala of something. You never want to begin something with a b'dieved situation. It's a very important concept that the run develops. That you have to whenever it comes to a beginning, you want to make sure you start it off right. You start it off in the most lechachila way possible. So it sounds very clearly from the Ran that the Ran holds that we don't bring, although we don't bring Korban Omer from Chutz Laaretz, that's a Beferish Mishnah, but Eivor HaYarden is not called Chutz Laaretz, and that you can bring from Eivor HaYarden normally. On a typical year, it's just that lechachila you do Karav LYerushalayim. In the Tshuvas Yeshuas Malko, he asks the same kasha that the Ran asks, why don't they bring from Eivor HaYarden? He says because Eivor HaYarden was not Niskadesh until after Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So there was no Kedusha to Eivor HaYarden, even though Eivor HaYarden now has Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't yet have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael till after the Kibush. The Ran in the Dharm seems to be so to himself, because the Ran in Dharm Daf Chav Beis says Beferish that Eivor HaYarden was not Niskadesh with regard to the Korban Omer. It has Kedusha for certain halachos, but not with regard to the Korban Omer. So it sounds like only with regard to Korban Omer. By other mitzvot Tzlius Baretz, it will be Kadosh, and obviously a lot of Nafkaminas is the Yisr Chadosh Noheg on Eivor HaYarden. Is there a Kiyum mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael on Eivor HaYarden? There are lots of all the mitzvos hanogos that are hatzlius ba'aretz. Are they knowing in Eivor HaYarden? So this is a big nafkamina whether Eivor HaYarden has kedusha Eretz Yisrael. In the Sefer Derech HaMunor, Rav Chaim Kanievsky quotes from the Chazon Ish that the Isra of Chadash was knowing in Eivor HaYarden l'chol ha'deos, and the Isra of Orla and the dinim of Orla and Yovel and Shmita and Nigei Batim are all knowing in Eivor HaYarden. The only thing that's not is Bikurim, because by Bikurim it says Kisova Ela Aretz. So the Pasuk is talking about Dafka Eretz Yisrael and not Eivor HaYarden, even though for other things Eivor HaYarden is considered Eretz Yisrael, but Kisova Ela Aretz specifically refers to the mainland of Eretz Yisrael, that it's which is the better area than Eivor HaYarden has that certain maila of Bikurim. That's what they say from the Chazon Ish, but all of the other halachos would apply to Eivor HaYarden just the same. Now we mentioned the grain of Goyim is not subject to the Yisr of we cannot bring Korban Omer from grain that belongs to Goyim. There is a major discussion whether grain that's grown by Goyim is subject to the Yisr Chadash. There's a major question that the Achronim really, really struggle with, and that is that there is a pasuk in the Torah, there is a din d'oraisa, that we are not allowed to eat new grain until the second day of Pesach, when the Beis Hamikdash was around, till the Korban Omer was brought. Now that we don't have Beis Hamikdash, till the second day of Pesach on the Rabbanan level, till it's over, till the second day of Pesach is over. And in Eretz Yisrael, people are very makbid about this halacha. In Chutz Laaretz, Not so much. And the Achronim are really bothered by this. It doesn't say that it's not so clear that this is something. It sounds pretty clear from the Mishnah that this is something that is knowing in Chutz Laretz. So why are we not makbid about this? Why are we not makbid about the din of Chadash? So the most famous answer is the Shita of the Bach. He says Chadash is only knowing by things that are grown by Jews. Things that are grown bishal nachrim, if a guy grows grain, then there's no isur chadash on such flour, on such grain, and that's quoted by the poskim in Arachayim and Simtav Pei Tes. The Shach, however, disagrees. The Shach disagrees with the Bach, and he brings a raya from our Gemara. Because we say grain that grew by Goyim has an Isra of Chadash. It's clear in our Gemara that it is an Isra of Chadash, because even though we hold in the Havamina that they didn't bring the Karban Omer because it was Gidule Nachrim, so they couldn't bring that Karban Omer, so the Gemara doesn't ask, well, why didn't they eat before the Omer? Because it was Gadol Biad Goy. The Gemara just assumes that they couldn't eat it. They couldn't eat the grain because they needed a Karban Omer. Elamai, the grain that was grown by Goyim, couldn't be used for a Karban Omer. Well, why do you have a problem in the first place then? You should have been able to eat that grain anyhow. If it was grown, if you all that grain grown by Goyim is not a problem, if you all like the Bach. So says the Shach, you see from our Gemara, against the Shitas HaBach. The Ramah has a different justification of why we're not so careful about Chadash and Chutz Laretz. He suggests a very questionable, very difficult to understand Svek Sveka, that maybe it's from last year's growth, and maybe even if it's from this year's growth, it was low Yviashlish, and it wasn't this year, it was only Yviashlish last year. Whatever, very, very difficult Svek Sveka. Sounds like one Suffolk. But anyway, that's the Bach's approach, and it's somewhat questionable. The Shach points out that our Sugya would seem to go against the opinion of the Bach. One more Ha'ara before we move on, and that is the Gemara had suggested somewhere along the way that Vidilma Ayil Velo Kimlahu, that maybe, for all they knew, the grain had already fully grown while it was in the hands of Goyim, and we just don't know how to tell the difference between grain that's one-third grown and grain that's not one-third grown. It was lo kimluhu. So how were they able to bring the Karban Omer from grain that was not one-third grown? Maybe it was one-third grown, and they just didn't know the difference. So the place he asked the following kasha. There is a machlokas rishonim. We know that the rule is Safik d'araisa l'chumra, Safik d'rabbanan l'kula. But that din, that Safik d'araisa is l'chumra, is that itself a din Raisa, or is that itself only a din to Rabbanan? So the Rambam Shita is Safik d'Oraisa l'chumra is only a din to Rabbanan. Mida Oraisa, Safik d'Oraisa would actually be l'kula. It's only din to Rabbanan that we would go with Safik d'Oraisa l'chumra. So if that's the case, if you have a Safik, whether it was Hivia Shlish, whether the grain grew one third or not, so Mida Oraisa, they'd be allowed to go l'kula and they'd be able to bring the Karban Omer from that grain. So asks the place, so what's the Gemara so bothered by? V'dim lo kimlu, how do they, maybe they couldn't tell the difference, so what did they do if they couldn't tell the difference? Well, if they couldn't tell the difference, they're fine. If they couldn't tell the difference, that means it's a suffix. They don't know if it grew one third or not. Suffix d'araisa, according to the Rambam, on a d'araisa level, and presumably they're working with the d'araisa level at that point in history, would be l'kula. It wouldn't be l'chumra. That's the kasha that the place he asks on the Rambam. The Achronim suggest that maybe there's a difference between the Rambam Shita when you're talking about a Suffolk Isser versus when you're talking about a Suffolk Mitzvah. Over here it's a Suffolk Mitzvah, not a Suffolk Isser. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara now, though. So says the Gemara, Maskva Rabbi Chanina, so we had said that how do we know that one-third growth makes a difference? Because the Pasuk says, Chaka Asa B'tseis Hashana. So we learn from that Pasuk that anything that you're going to harvest on Sukkot's time already grew one-third of its growth by Rosh Hashanah. So Masra Bichanin Mimat Samar Dai Asif Katsiru. Are you sure that Asif means harvesting? Vaksiv Baskhamigarnachamikvachavamar. It teaches us a totally different thing. Pasuk says Baskhamigarnachamikvacha. We learn from there what is kosher to use for schach, that the things that you use for schach are things that are leftovers from your garden and yakev, or branches and things like that. So Amr Rabbi Zeira Hamil Savai Biyad. We thought we had a good source for determining that one third is a determining factor, and then Rabbi Chanina came along and he destroyed our whole source. Elaminalan, so we need a different source. Kedetanya, Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Omer, Vasas atvua l'shalosh hashanim. So it says that they make the grain l'shalosh hashanim. Al tekri l'shalosh, ela l'shlish. Don't read it l'shalosh, read it as l'shlish, that in determining the year of the grain, it's l'shlish. You look at when the grain got to one-third of its growth. So, frankly, no, that pasuk is telling me that we're going to have enough food to last us 3 years when we can't work the land during Shemitah. That's what that pasuk is all about. So how can you tell me that it's telling me detailed halacha about grain growing one-third? We need that pasuk for just what it means in Pasha Pshat, that it's a bracha, that if we observe Shemitah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. So no, Ksiv Krachrina, we have another pasuk that tells us that already. Uzratim es Hashana Shminis, v'achaltim minatvua yashanat shanat shiis, that we're going to have enough grain left over from the sixth year, that it's going to last us for the sixth year, the seventh year when we can't do anything on the ground, and then the eighth year when we're already working the land but we have nothing to harvest yet. So for all three of those years, the sixth year crop is going to suffice. So we already have a pasuk that tells us that bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. So that frees up this pasuk to teach us l'shalosh Hashana means l'shlish, that it's one-third growth that determines what year the produce actually belongs to. So says Maratana, so we have a Mishnah. Ha'oriz v'adochim v'apragna. This Mishnah is going to define how we determine the year of different types of produce. So ha'oriz v'adochim v'apragna v'ashum shemin she'shrishu lefnei Rosh Hashanah misashun l'sha'avar mutarim b'shviyas. If they took root, that's what we look at. When they took root, if they took root before Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, so then you take off Chumas and Maestros like they are non-Shemitah produce, even if you don't actually pick it, it doesn't actually grow, nothing actually happens until Shemitah year. As long as it took root before the Shemitah year, it has a din of non-Shemitah produce for these particular minim, for rice and millet, things like this. Umutarin b'shviyas, and it's mutter during the Shemitah year to do business with it, because it's not considered Shemitah produce. But v'imlav, but if it only took root during the Shemitah year, then asurim b'shviyas, you're not allowed to do business with it, because it has kedusha shviyas to it. U'misasun l'shana haba, and you're going to have to, the laws of Meiser are going to follow Shemitah laws, not laws of pre-Shemitah laws. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbanan. So Rabba says, wait a second, why would we look at Hashrasha, at when it actually takes root? The Rabbanan said that there are different types of produce, and each different type of produce we determine based on a different factor what year it belongs to. Ilan, basar chanata. When it comes to a tree, we look for chanata. Tavua v'zesim, basar shlish. When it comes to grain and olives, we look at shlish. We look at a third of the growth. Yerek, basar lakita. When it comes to vegetables, we look at lakita when you actually pick it from the ground. Sahani, keman shavin rabbanu. Where do we get this idea of hashrasha? Which one do you, when you talk about orez and doch, which category do you want to put it in? If you want to put it in the category of ilan, you need chanata. You want to put it in the category of grain, you need shlish. You want to put it in the category of yerek, you need lakita. Where does hashrasha come in? That's not the rule for anything. So hadar amar rabba mitok sha'asuyin prachin prachin azir rabbanan basra hashrasha. The rabbanan had to go basra hashrasha because there was nothing else to go with, since it doesn't grow uniformly, meaning it's picked from the field at different times, it grows at different times. There is no uniform time other than the time of hashrasha. So that's why the rabbanan had to go with hashrasha for these items. Amle Abaye v'Yitzpor Garnel L'Tocho V'Mitzvah Torah Min HaChadosh Shabbal HaChadosh Shabbal Min HaYashon Shabbal HaYashon Shabbal. Why do you have to determine anything? If you're not sure whether it was this year or last year's produce, because you don't know exactly when it really grew, so gather it all together, mix it all in one big pile, and you'll take, and you could be, what's the problem? You can't take maizos from this year on last year's produce, or from last year's produce on this year's produce. So we're afraid if we mix the two, we're going to be taking from last year and this year's. Well, if you mix them really well, then the chances are any truma that you take from the pile is going to contain some of this year's produce and some of last year's produce, and that will cover the rest of the pile, which is also a mixture of some of this year's produce, some of last year's produce. Why is that not a viable solution? Milo tiny, after all, don't we have a brisa that Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Pula Mitzri Shazaru Lazara Miktsaso Hishrish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Umiktsaso Hishrish Lachar Rosh Hashanah, that if it was partially took root before Rosh Hashanah and part of these beans, the crop of beans, took root after Rosh Hashanah, Ein Tormenu Ma'asru Mizeh Alzeh, you're not allowed to take Trumas and Maestros from one year year on the other year. Because you can't take Trumas and Maestros from old stuff on new stuff, nor from new things on old things. So Ketzad will say, what do you do? Silver, garnel, letochov, and imsatarim, maser, mena chadash, shabal, chadash, shabal, mena yashar, shabal, yashar, shabal. Pile it all together. They're very, very tiny. We assume that they mix together very well. And therefore, when you take the Trumas, when you take the Maestros, you are in fact taking from the chadash, shabal, ala chadash, shabal, and from the yashar, shabal, on the yashar, shabal. So that should be no problem. You'll have solved all the problems. So says Gemara, Amalei Rav Shimon Shazuri, he said back to him, Rav Shimon Shazuri Kamrit, why you're asking me, why don't we do like Rav Shimon Shazuri to pile all the grain in the middle of the field? No, Rav Shimon Shazuri Savri Yesh Bila, Rabbanan Savri Ein Bila. Rav Shimon Shazuri is a Das Yachid. He holds that things get mixed together really well, and therefore when you take out a cup and you say this should be Truma, so it's a proper mixture of this year's produce and last year's produce. We hold Ein Bila. We hold that things don't get mixed together all that well. And if they don't get mixed together all that well, we always have to be choshish that maybe we're taking from this year's produce on last year's produce, or from last year's produce on this year's produce. Okay, we'll stop there, but we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmanim Shmuel tomorrow. Oh, yeah.